E. Anstett, a long-term member of the Morehead Rotary Club. The interview was conducted in the studios at Morehead State University. Interviewer is Jerry Hockebo, representing the Heritage Education Commission. Hugh, we'll be talking about your membership and impressions of that membership in the Morehead Rotary Club. But before we get into that, I'd like to find out something about your personal background. You've been a resident of the Fargo-Moorhead community for quite a bit of time.
Well, really all my life. I was born in Fargo and have always worked in Moorhead. And in fact, I'm back living in the house where I was born.
Is that right? Now, were you in business in Moorhead?
Yes, the business was, the first business, the original business was Pioneer Coffee Company, Coffee Roasters. And we primarily served the hotel, restaurant, and institutional trade. We did roast coffee in town. We were the only coffee roasters in the area.
And when did that start?
My father started that in 1920.
Okay. And does some variation of that still exist?
No, not really. Long about 1930, let me see here, about 1940, probably closer to 1945, we got very much interested in the roasting of other products, primarily sunflower and soybeans. And we were able to expand that business beyond what we call our regional coffee business into more of a national business. We were shipping these roasted products throughout the country to health food stores. And as that grew, we decided we'd probably better get out of the coffee business, so we did sell the coffee end of it. And I stayed on as a manager for the McGarvey Coffee Company that bought us out for 5 years, and then I went full-time into this health food business.
Okay. And now you've retired from that just in the recent past, is that?
Yes, just recently I did retire from the health food business. We sold that to another party, and they are continuing with it under the same name.
Okay. Hugh, we want to find out a little bit about the Morehead Rotary Club. You've been a member there for some years. And while I'm a member of the Rotary Club as well, I'm a much more recent kind of member here. And so tell us a little bit about the club, when it was founded.
Well, the Morehead Club was founded in 1921, and the sponsoring club was the Fargo Rotary Club. And the records have it that they had a big turnout. They organized a parade in Fargo, and they walked across the bridge to Morehead to the old Comstock Hotel where the Morehead Club was installed.
Okay. Now, there are two clubs here then in Fargo-Moorhead. Well, actually, there's a third one recently. But these are affiliated with a higher-level organization. Can you tell us about that?
Rotary now is an international club. The first club beyond the United States was a club in Winnipeg. And it is now extended all around the world. There's 2,890 clubs in 159 countries. And about 1 million members. I think we're in about on every continent, with clubs in almost every country except the communist countries.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where it started, the first club?
Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. And where did it first go international? It went to Winnipeg, as you
right.
said.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The next higher unit from us, we are a club. Fargo's a club. There is some intermediate kind of
districts.
District. Okay.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Can you?
Well, I presume every country in the world, unless they're small ones, have districts, and there are many districts in the United States with a district governor in each district. And the local district, is it 558?
558, yeah.
Includes all of North Dakota and the western part of Minnesota and two or three clubs in Canada.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the membership of the Morehead Rotary Club. Who belongs? How many members are there? What can you tell us about membership?
Well, back a number of years ago, the average ran for many years around the 70 to 70, 75, 80 figure. But recently we've had a spurt in membership, so we're now up to 102.
And these members now are all men?
Yes.
Okay. Which obviously is one of the membership requirements. What are others?
Well, in Rotary, they have a classification set up. And what they have been looking for right from the very beginning when the club was founded was to get the leaders in each type of business in a community involved in a club. Now, that could be corporations or people that are in business on their own, in their own professions, doctors, lawyers, and those connected with colleges and institutions. Okay. And the idea was to get a good cross-section of the community so that there'd be a good exchange of information between the members at the meetings.
Okay, we talked about the fact that it's a men's-only group, but with what's happening in our country, in our society now, the whole notion about status of women and so forth, are there any developments or are there considerations being given to women in Rotary? Can you tell me anything about that?
Yes, and it's more current every day. This has been brought up at the national convention, I mean at the convention in the United States, and there is a strong feeling for enlarging the membership to include women because there are so many leaders in the field. And a lot of the interest in Rotary is in business, so it follows that if they're going to be leaders in business, they could well be members. The complication gets involved in the international aspect of Rotary, where there's many, many countries in the world where ladies haven't even made the first step into leadership. So it might be a while coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit about what the club does. What are some goals or purposes of the club?
Well, I'd really like to quote from the Constitution of the Rotary International, which is also our bylaws. And the first is the development of acquaintances as an opportunity for service. Number two is high ethical standards in business and professions. The recognition of the worthiness of all useful occupations. And the dignifying by each Rotarian of his occupation as an opportunity to serve society. Number three, the application of the ideals of service by every Rotarian to his personal, business, and community life. Number four, the advancement of international understanding and goodwill and peace through world of fellowship of business and professional men united in the idea of service.
Well, these are certainly some noble goals. How might we translate that into program? What is an example of a service that the local club has provided that might help work towards or attain one of the goals?
The Moorhead Rotary Club has been involved in many programs over the years with a great emphasis on the youth programs. To name a few, one is our $500 scholarship to graduate students from Moorhead High School to attend either Moorhead State University or Concordia. Another one is our park programs. Every year, Rotary Club takes upon itself to help clean and police one of the parks in the spring. And we enjoy it, and it does a service for the city. Another one is our AWARE program, which is youth-oriented to fifth graders, and we help finance the cost of the school administrators in teaching these youth about being aware of drugs and the problems of drugs. You get on a national and international basis, there's the Rotary Foundation, which runs in, I think, something like $22 million just last year alone for students, and I think the foundation scholarship program is probably is equivalent to all the other such programs put together. There's also very much in student youth exchange students, and we're continually sponsoring students to foreign countries for study and research, and likewise we're accepting students from these countries. So there, it's expanding.
Have you seen the service goals change over the years you've been a member here?
Yes, and the change has mostly been in the expansion and the involvement in the programs. It seems like every year there's something new comes up that mm-hmm. we get involved with.
Obviously, this takes some kind of money. How have you funded your projects?
That's always a problem, but we try to do it in a fun way and not by assessment. For a number of years, we've had some kind of a major fundraising project. For a few years, it was rummage sales. And more recently, we've had a lot of fun and with quite some success in a ticket raffle on a boat and motor. We usually held a whole lot in the spring where people are getting conscious of the warm weather and the fishing season coming up. And in conjunction with that raffle, we have a fish fry, and which the public is invited by the purchase of tickets, and at which time the winner is announced to the boat. Another one fundraising method is by our dues, part of which always go into our projects. And the third one, and a fun sort of deal, is by our fines at our meetings, where you can find almost any and all excuses for a 25-cent to a dollar fine. And, of course, every time you have a birthday or you get some publicity, why you usually get stuck. Okay. Those are the major fundraising.
Do you go after money? Do you receive grants from other agencies or organizations?
No, not really. All the money is raised by the club and the members and their programs.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the meetings. Where does the Moorhead Club meet now?
Well, we've met at the Moorhead Country Club for a good many years. It's a bit of a drive, and it takes a little extra time. But once about every 10 years, they vote about meeting uptown, and it's always turned down. The people love the outdoor aspect of the country club, and just even getting away from town is fun. Originally, they met in the old Comstock Hotel in Moorhead.
Have there been other meeting places, regular basis, since you've been a member?
No, except on occasion why we have met at the Moorhead State University and Concordia College, which we will be doing this in a week or two because the country club will be closed for a few weeks. And on a number of occasions, when our meetings were at like industrial sites or business places where that was a program, why we would meet there and the lunch would be catered. We have met such places as Steiger Tractor and the Coca-Cola bottling plant and the Forum. And one of the more interesting ones was the North Dakota Air National Guard at the Air Base. And we had a good meeting at the Planetarium at Moorhead State University.
Good. How often do you meet?
Every week. Every Tuesday, 12 o'clock.
And tell me, when you arrive then, what happens when you first come to the country club?
Well, they always have these identification buttons. It's a good-sized button, so that helps visitors and even our own members to get acquainted with each other. And it's an obligation to wear the button, and you might get fined if you don't have the button on. That's the reception desk. The next thing is we always have greeters. They take turns being a greeter, and they not only greet our own members, but they make a point to welcome visiting Rotarians and guests and see that they're taken care of and perhaps sit with somebody with a common interest.
Is food a part of the meeting here now? What?
I think that almost all the clubs that I've ever heard of, food is a meal, a luncheon meeting. And other clubs are jealous of the food we have and serve.
Mm-hmm. And you have a buffet style?
We do. And I think most clubs do because it speeds things up, but not all clubs. Some have a sit-down deal. I found in visiting some clubs in the East this summer that a lot of them, small towns are evening clubs, and they have the advantage of not being in the pressure to get out and back to work.
What happens next then? You've helped yourself to food. You find a table with some friends or?
Yes, it's probably just like going to church. A lot of people like to sit kind of in the same table, the same location, back left or front right or something like that. But we're initiating a program where we'll, about once a month, while we'll kind of mix things up, and they'll have to sit at a different table so that they'll get well acquainted with everybody.
And then you have a program.
Yes, and before the program, probably one of the most interesting parts is the exchange of, you might say, current events and topics right at your own table. There's a... I think that is probably one of the best ways imaginable to find out what's cooking in Moorhead on a daily and current basis. You're almost always sitting with somebody different at every meeting, and everything comes up for discussion.
How does the formal part of the program start?
There is First of all, the president does try to provide the party that is going to be the program a good half hour or more. So Memorial Club has been very exacting on starting ringing the bell, ringing the gong about 12:20. So that'd be a few minutes for our business and announcements and things, but also to give the speaker good time and a period for questions and answers. So the first thing is the ringing of the gong, and then they all stand, and we have probably the finest pianist in the area, and we sing the national anthem, and then we have a grace song, or somebody will say the grace, and then we get to the eating problem.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of programs do you have at these meetings now? They're speakers generally.
I don't know as much about other clubs as I do about ours, but we seem to be, you might say, at the crossroads here with three universities, and there's interstate cross highways through here. There's lots of big and large national, international businesses now. So the choice of speakers is almost unlimited. I was figuring that I've attended something like 1,700 programs in these years, and I don't think there's been hardly a repeat. People you can call on can be from the governors of both states to key offices in the governments of each state to the mayors. We've had the mayor of each town every year, I think. And you have your presidents of the colleges that have been guest speakers, and it just goes on and on and on. A lot of people in business will have some maybe outstanding member or higher up in their organization that is in town at that week, and they will arrange to get that party on a program. So without doubt, that is a fabulous way to keep current with what's going on from authorities.
Now, you talked about one of the focuses of the club was on youth. Do youth get to be a part of the program in any way?
They do, and it's one of the more refreshing and interesting aspects. Every year during the school year, we have two students from, usually seniors, from Morehead High, the tech school, or we've had from Shanley and some of the schools in Fargo. It could, quite often it's a boy and a girl, but it could be two girls or two boys. And they are guests of the club for 3 weeks in a row. And for a great many of them, this is their first occasion to not only visit Rotary, but to visit any service club. And so many of them don't really know what's going on in these clubs, but after these three meetings, they become well aware of what we're trying to do in the community. Then in turn, on the second meeting, one of the students will tell about his personal business in school, what he's taking, what he likes to do, and his accomplishments, and we have a chance to ask him a few questions. And the following week, the other person will give a little short talk, about 5 minutes, and without question, they have been a most interesting part of our program.
That's great. Now, Hugh, you mentioned earlier that you've been president. You were president of the club here. Can you tell us a little bit about what that entails and about some others who've played some key roles in the organization?
I think it was back in 1943 that I had the opportunity of being president of the Morehead Club. I joined the club, about 4 years, no, five, six years before that. Something quite interesting is that my father had been a longtime member of Rotary, and he was president, too, back in the about 1943, during the war years. I was the first, you might say, father-son combination in the Morehead Club. And since then, there's been three other fellows that have been father-son presidents.
uh, Are there some other key people that you remember in the history of Morehead that have been a part of the club? Are there some names that come to mind for leadership?
Well, there's so many. It's hard to bring them up. I would just say that I think the president of Concordia College, two or three of them have been a member of Rotary forever. And we have the president of the MS has been a member of the Rotary Club. I think most of the mayors in the last 50 years have been a member of the Rotary. Our city clerk, there's been two of them that have served during that time, and they have been held at classification forever. Mm-hmm. And you could say that an awful lot of the members of Public Service Commission and other municipal bodies have all been members. So it's if you went down the list, there'd be 100 names.
Okay. How about members of our club becoming leaders at some higher level? Any come to mind there? District governors or?
Well, as I just mentioned earlier, a lot of the members have been, leaders of the club, like mayors and on the council and so forth. We did have two district governors for our District 558 in Morehead Rotary, and one was Jim Deems, and he was, I presume, back about 1946, 47, in that period. Jim was the manager of Fairmont Creamery at the time. And just last year, our own Dave Green, Dr. Green from Concordia College, was our district governor. And that's a real privilege and an honor to have a local member as district governor.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the club and its role in community. Do you see it as having any kind of unique place in the organization of the community?
We get back to the point that so many of the members have been community-minded. We've had our mayors, and we've had the head of the Public Service Commission. We've had people on the park board. We've had many presidents of the Chamber of Commerce and the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. And then I think all the superintendents of schools for a number of years back have been Rotarians, and a number of principals of the high school.
Okay.
So there are a good members that are actively participating in the community.
Is there a certain image that the club would seek in the community? Or how do you think the community really does see the Rotary Club?
Rotary, we don't do any advertising, and we don't try to promote Rotary publicly, but we do get involved, and because so many of the members are involved in the many groups in the town, the governmental agencies, the schools, businesses, Chamber of Commerce, it all rubs off, and I don't think and you reach so many thousands of students that I can't help but feel that the community is well aware that we're around. We're around and active and living strong.
Let's talk a minute about some of the personal experiences. I gather that you joined in the late 30s. You said you were president in the early 40s, and
yes,
you'd been in,
yeah.
So it was in the late 30s you joined.
Yes.
Can you recall why? Was it a matter your father was a member, or?
Well, I had a high interest because of my father for many years. But then I also was in business in Morehead. And Tom Hanner, who was Hanner and O'Neill, and he'd been secretary and president of the club for many years, was in business just about a block down the street. And when my father found a reason to retire from Rotary, it didn't take Tom very long to ask me, and it didn't take me long to say yes.
Mm-hmm. What has the organization meant to you? Obviously, quite a bit. You've been a member a long while. Tell us about that.
It's meant an awful lot to me. I outside of my family and my business, I think is the most interesting, one of the most important things in my life. you might say it's evidenced by the fact that if I hadn't had a heart attack and missed four meetings, I would have had 34 years of perfect attendance. And Rotary kind of pushes attendance, but not to the point of interfering with your business or your personal life. And in my particular case, it being sort of in business in town here and not traveling too much, I was able to make these meetings. And when I was miss a few, I made a real effort to make up in another town, which is something that Rotary strongly emphasizes, is to make up. Having been in Rotary this many years, of course, I've been involved in a lot of the project. And when you're involved in a lot of projects, you pick up a lot of friends and a lot of interesting mm-hmm. people, which is probably a very important fact, as the establishment of, you might say, lifelong friends. I've had one hobby, which is photography, which I enjoy, and I suggested probably 10 years ago that it would be a good idea to say thank you to our speakers by taking a picture and sending them a picture, and the club agreed that we should try it. And what we do is have a nice thank you card, and we put their picture on there, and we thank them for being our providing the program on such and such date. And at the same time, as long as we had those pictures, the club suggested that why not make an album? And so I have been working on an annual album with these pictures, and the pictures, in a way, tell a story of the programs we had. And almost always I get a picture of the chairman of the day along with the speaker. So in the course of time, we get a picture of almost everybody in Rotary into the album. But to add to the interest of the album, we have probably one of the finest bulletins in the district. And this bulletin always covers the highlights of the program. And so we get clippings out of the bulletin and make it part of the album. Which becomes a matter of record, and that's added to my interest mm-hmm. in Rotary.
Do you remember any event that was of particularly memorable interest?
There's been a lot of them. There's been the parties, there's been the rummage sales, there's been a district conference, but I can't help but feel the most exciting and far-out experience was when Fargo-Moorhead chartered a flight to a matching Rotary Club in the Newcastle area of England. This was a number of months in the planning and organization and conferences with the Newcastle Rotarians. And the day finally arrived when we were to take off, and there was about 70 members from the Fargo-Moorhead Club, and a few from nearby clubs that took a bus to, we flew out of Fargo, and we arrived in London, and then we spent a day or so in London, and then we went by train up to Newcastle, where we were given the royal treatment. There's a couple of clubs in Newcastle, and then there's clubs in a number of the adjoining towns that played host to us over there, and we not only attended a number of their Rotary meetings, but social functions, and then they went all out to show us the history of the area on bus tours and so forth. After about 4 days, most of the members kind of split up in small groups, and they did additional traveling, either in Europe or Ireland, or some of them went to the Scandinavian countries, other went to Germany and France. But a good many of us, on the last day, prior to our return, the last few days prior to our return, we gathered together in Paris for mm-hmm. a real get-together, and then it was back to London on a flight home. That has to be an outstanding.
Do you remember about when that was? How long ago?
The 1964.
Oh. Any particularly humorous event, episode?
Oh, there's good humor at all the meetings, and there's good humor at the parties, and there's lots of jokes, but I can't help but recall one incident when Lloyd Sween, who was editor of the Forum at the time and also president of our club, was sort of in charge of one of our night parties, evening parties with the ladies. And Lloyd had his sister-in-law was Biv Halbison, who was a director of a dance school. And Lloyd thought it'd be fun if he could get some of us to, I guess, he put the finger on us rather than volunteer to take part in this little skit. And there was Hod Eklund and Neil Woland and Frank Collins and myself. And we went out to practice and take instructions from Biv for about 4 weeks in advance to this party. And the idea was to do a dance number and wear some a costume, and she had some pretty lively music, and we fumbled along and stumbled along until time arrived for the party, whether we were ready or not. And after the dinner, the four of us had to excuse ourselves, and we went downstairs and put on our costumes, and they were sort of a short skirt type deal with fluffy blouses and hats, and absolutely crazy. And Lloyd turned up the record, and we came out, and we...
I bet you were hit.
pranced around, and the climax of the little skit was that I was supposed to kind of fly into Hod Eklund's arms. Well, that went pretty good in our practice sessions, but he kind of fumbled the ball at the end. So to make a long story short, we brought the house down.
Great. Are there other areas now we haven't really touched on that come to mind that we ought to, that would somehow or other tell us more about the Morehead Rotary Club?
One of the most fascinating aspects of Rotary, I think, is the international aspect, national and international. Nowadays, everybody travels. And with, 60,000 clubs in the world, you can hardly go any place, but there'd be an opportunity to make up. And that is one of the not only most interesting things, the programs in another club or another country, but almost invariably you'll meet somebody that can give you a hand. You'll find there's many an incidence where people would have another Rotarian would have had them out as a guest at their home or at their shop, or introduce them to somebody so they can see something that they wouldn't have seen otherwise. And I've had opportunity to make use of this makeup around in England and France, Canada, and in many cities in the United States. And it's really something you look forward to when you travel. The other aspect, beyond the immediate area, is our district. Our district involves, as I said earlier, all of North Dakota, a good part of Minnesota, and part of Canada. And one of these clubs is a host club for the convention every year. And at those conventions, where you have an opportunity to exchange all kinds of ideas and programs and meet different people. And the main drive at these conventions is sort of how to better your club, new ideas and ways to be of service to the community.
It's apparent you've had a great deal of personal satisfaction being a member of Rotary.
Yes. And it's really been great, and it's just so nice to be able to count so many friends among the Rotarians that you meet at these clubs. I hope that I can keep going for a long time. There is one aspect is of Rotary that, like in my case, where you retire, and at that time you have to drop your classification and make that classification open to another member of the community, but then you can become what you call senior active, and you can go on forever and be eligible to attend any meeting in any club in the world.
And I hope you do, Hugh. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
It's been a pleasure.